Question, folks. When God removes His presence, or the sense of His presence, what do you do? Let's take a look at Psalm 13. In this psalm, David is being pursued by his enemies. And I think that, like, this is probably something, like, many of us can identify with. And if you can't yet, I'll guarantee you there will be a time when you can. Verse 1, it says, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me?" Like, have you ever been there? You feel like God has forgotten you? Like, hello God, do you remember that I am here? Have you ever felt like you can come to the table but you're not allowed to sit? Well, I can tell you now, if you have never felt that way, the time is coming. You're going to feel that way eventually. Because He does this from time to time for all believers who are growing in the grace and knowledge of Him. So how long will you forget me, O Lord, forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my mind, having sorrow in my heart daily? By how long, God, will I encourage myself with thoughts that I have from your word, but my heart is grieved? How long will I have a wounded heart and pain, and yet I will keep reciting your word to myself, because that is my only encouragement? Will it ever stop? Will I ever get to the point where that grief disappears? How long will it be? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Have you ever seen that happen? Have you ever been in a place where somebody who's really kind of maybe treated you wrong, or is just wrong as a person, and they get the exaltation and you get the low road? And David's asking, how long will that last, God? "Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death." What is he saying, lighten my eyes? God, bring light to my perception. Help me to see your purpose. Give me understanding from your throne, so that I may think with your thoughts and see with your eyes. Lighten my perception so that I can have divine understanding with your nature as my frame of reference. Lighten my eyes lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Have you ever been there? If you haven't, you will be. And when that day comes, when you are there, this is the solution. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. The word salvation there is not salvation of the soul, but deliverance. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. You see, David at this point did not experience the victory. David at this point was experiencing the trouble. He was being pursued by his enemies. David's enemies always had one goal. No matter who his enemy was, they had one goal. All of them shared the same common goal. They wanted to kill the man. Like, can you imagine an entire army of a nation being sent after you with the purpose of killing just you? This is bad. This is a bad place to be. I mean, think, you are there with 600 guys, and they are there because they're all disgruntled. They're like criminals, or hated by somebody, or they owe somebody something, or they're like a thief. And they are there, and these are your guys. And the king's entire army is pursuing you, and this is what you've got to rely on. And so you say, how long will it be, God? But the solution is the same also. But I have trusted in your mercy. Notice that David doesn't say that God brought an end to the situation. Not here he doesn't. He's still in it. He said, but I have trusted in your mercy. I have trusted that you will not give me the things that I do deserve, and you will give me the things that I do not deserve, mercy and grace. I have trusted in your character towards me, that even if I am flawed, you still love me as I am. I have trusted that you will be faithful to me because you cannot deny who you are. I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. See, I know that the mercy of God will bring me to a point of deliverance. And I have trusted in your salvation. Do you know why God allows difficult times? Why God allows people who are unlovely to come your way and to trouble you? Do you know why He does that? It's kind of like divine sandpaper sometimes. But do you know why? Because His love needs to be perfected in me. You see, God loves the unlovely. So He will bring the unlovely so they can be loved by God. And when I face those who are unlovely towards me, and I answer them with His character, then they can be loved by God. You see, if I don't love my brother, then who will love my brother? How can God show His love to a person if I do not love them? I mean, we are the body of Christ. If the body does not love, then God has no outlet, no expression of His love. Oh, He has a heart of love. He has an attitude of love. He can still make things happen. But maybe He wants a person to meet a person. Maybe He wants a person to meet Him in person. Did you realize that when we walk according to the Holy Spirit in the love of God, and we have His life flowing through us, then when people meet us, they in fact meet God? That's an astonishing thing. Somebody has met you and they have met God. And you don't even know that it's happening. I'll never forget one time a young woman, she was around 20 years old in Venezuela. I had met her. We were there on the mission field. And this young woman comes up. Her name was Maria. And there was a group of us, 17 of us. And we had come across, we were soul winning every day on the streets, and we had come across this woman, and she got saved. And she stayed with us. She got saved the first week, and she stayed with us the rest of our time there. And I'll never forget, it completely blew my mind because I didn't even think about this. She looked at me one time and she said, "Mike, I can see Christ in your eyes." I wasn't conscious of that. I wasn't thinking anything. It was just there. You see, when someone meets the believer, when someone meets you, they are meeting God. He is in you and you are in Him. How can they meet anyone different? They are meeting God. And when the life of God flows through me and the love of God is shed abroad in my heart, then it is shed abroad to them. It is shed abroad from God's heart to my heart and from my heart to the rest. I trust in His mercy and I have joy in His salvation. You know how you get through difficult times? You have joy in the fact that God has a deliverance for you. You praise Him. You trust His mercy and you praise Him for His salvation. See, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And He inhabits the praises of His people. So when I start praising God and His presence comes in and fills me, and in the presence of God there is fullness of joy. So I start rejoicing in His salvation and praising Him and thanking Him for His deliverance. It brings the presence of God in and I get fullness of joy and it becomes my strength. What do I do when I feel like I'm just so weak I can't go on? I start praising Him and trusting Him and thanking Him. And I start having His presence. And it gives me strength. And He inhabits those praises. He is there present. I will sing to the Lord because He has dealt bountifully with me. You see, I will not keep my eyes on the enemy that pursues me. I will not keep my eyes on the trouble that befalls me. And I will not keep my eyes on the problems that are in front of me. I will sing to the Lord. I will keep my eyes on the brazen serpent. I will keep my eyes on His faithfulness. I will keep my eyes on His character. I will keep my eyes on the fact that He loves me and is for me. And when I keep my eyes on Him, then the enlightenment that I get in my perception is that He has dealt bountifully with me. That if I seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added unto me. What is it that I desire to be added unto me? Seek first the kingdom of God. You see, He wants to give me the desires of my heart. That is His heart towards me. But I must first seek first the kingdom of God. Oh, I can pursue these desires without Him. But that's not a very good idea, because whatsoever is not of faith is sin, and the wages of sin is death. So albeit I may be a Christian, albeit I may be saved, my experience will be as one in the world. My experience will really, to me, be death. My experience will not be the life of God, but the death of the flesh. That is an option. I know people who have gone this route. They did not end up well. No one that I have ever met, and I've met a few of them, who have gone that route ended up well. But when I seek first the kingdom of God, then everything is added to me. Then He has dealt bountifully with me. Then in Ephesians 3:20, He will go above and beyond all that I can ask or think. It's not that difficult to deal with those situations. It simply takes the cross. And the cross is not that difficult a thing. The cross is my deliverance. You know what the cross is? The cross is when I put down my burden and I take up His life. You see, my burden is really just in my flesh. It's the old sin nature that experiences the burden. It's not the resurrection life of Christ. So when I pick up my cross, I'm simply putting down my burdens. Isn't that what He said? Cast your burdens unto Him, upon Him. And I get His resurrection life instead. I trade beauty for ashes. I give Him my ashes and He gives me His beauty. That's not a bad deal. This is how I deal with that sense of separation from God that comes from time to time. I trust Him and I rejoice in Him and I know that He has dealt bountifully with me.